Inta Rabbi Yosef and Enemandu Sevakatia Maridoko Severekita Baratida Vanamagadatoso Imara never get on to Satia Paricato Severekia Manganana Tigo Sefatitas Ida Baraman Sefea Tigo Pana Tigo Vomer Nanda Tagatis. Oh, this is our driver, this is our creed. More men will see. We're not the one who started the battle from the losing point, already saying that man is totally depraved and it's gone. No. More men will see. Our job is to be bold, strong, understand the power of the gospel. And then the assurance in that is that more men will see. The blind hearts are open. More men understand the Father. Dull ears are open through the words we speak. We're not the one who doubts the gospel or our role in it. No, we don't doubt the power of the gospel, and we don't run away from our role in it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for more eyes will indeed see through the words we speak. Thank you, Father. More eyes will see. More. Blind hearts, as minds of men, are opened through the gospel we preach. The comprehension of the Father is possible. 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 We don't judge in the physical, no. We don't judge in the physical. We don't. We don't. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Have a seat, everyone. Glory, glory, glory. This gospel is all we've got. All we've got. All. When we recognize that that is all that we have, then we cannot downplay it. We cannot. Hallelujah. Okay, this is part 8. Because I want to close by 12, I'm sorry, I will not do any recap. But know that when we say part 8, we are coming from somewhere. Our journey started from part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then this morning 7. And I trust and believe that you understood all we said. No, this is the reason why we teach. Imagine if before I come here to teach, I already concluded that nobody can understand this thing. So what is the point of me preaching? You understand? If, as I look at everybody's faces, there are some faces that don't smile. In fact, there are some faces that open Bible, no. There are some persons that, by the physical appearance, doesn't even look like they're interested in being here. And I just say, there's no need. They cannot understand. Okay, so my coming here will be to fulfill all righteousness. I just, understand or not. But the way we approach teaching is that, hey, everybody will understand. And what they understand is capable of changing their thinking, their actions. So we use our strength. The same way we do with the gospel. We don't start from the point of, hey, all men are dead. We have to have an expectation of change. Okay, so Romans 5. We're going to now look at this scripture. We're looking at death. We started from sin in part 7. So now I want to focus on death. Why do they say that all men are spiritually dead? Romans 5, because of this scripture. We'll have to explain this. Romans 5. Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready? Romans 5, 12. Everything can be explained from the scriptures, with the scriptures. Everything. According to God's intention. Okay, let me qualify that. Everything in God's intention. Everything that's pertaining to salvation. Always think that scripture also talks about how you can get a boo and be. Please take me in context. Romans 5:12. Are we there? You're still finding Romans. It's not Jonah. Romans 5:12. Are you there? This morning I've not called Zephaniah and Zechariah, so let's be there. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So this scripture suggests, based on this translation, that all men are under death because all men have sinned. In part 7, we looked at the progression of sin and the things that must happen for sin to be present. Now, because of this scripture, it now suggests that there is death upon all men because all men have sinned. No matter the translation, I think almost every translation I checked says the same thing, that all men have sinned, so all men have died. So we have to now look at this verse grammatically and then by context. Are we ready? Okay, so you agree with me that the first issue in this place is the word all. This is what creates the totality problem. So that word there, all, is what suggests that there is no exception. All men everywhere have sinned. So we have to look at that word all first before we start. So all there is the word pass. That's P-A-S. P-A-S in Greek. It does not always mean a general cumulative. That means it does not always mean everybody, totality, general. It is an adjective that does not have a fixed application. So it can vary based on the context. The word there does not have a fixed interpretation. So don't forget the Bible you have in your hand was translated from Greek. This is not the original language. So we are going to look at the meaning of that word and how it applies to know if this translation as all is what fits it. So that word pass, let me give you the two meanings. It first of all means individually. It can mean individually. Individually. By individually, I mean words like each, every, any. You understand? So it can mean one, whosoever, whatsoever. Those are such words. This, with our basic understanding of English, does that, if you translate as each, any, whatsoever, whosoever, does that mean general? No. Okay. Then it also means collective. Another meaning of that word pass is collectively. To describe some of all types. A type. A type. Some of all types. Most times it was translated as all. Don't forget, we said it's an adjective that does not have a fixed application. It is context that will make you decide if the proper word should be general or individual. Okay? All right. So let's now look. Most times it was translated as all, suggesting the whole. But we'll just look at some places where the same word was not translated as that, but rather giving the individual meaning. Okay? All right. Let's see Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. We have analyzed by grammar, now we are analyzing by usage. What are the four tools or means of Bible interpretation? From my middle, what are the four means? Ah, Rita. Uh-huh. The other one. Ah, Jesus. What do you score your last exam by just 10? Sharp, sharp. No. Four rules of Bible interpretation. She has said context. Another one. Oh my God, my God, my God. Was it not in our salvation? Minus 10. Bing, another one. So we have context, content. We have another one. Huh? You have visited our salvation 1 to 20. There was no way it wasn't said there. Okay. You don't know. Minus 10, whatever. You have not been graded. Minus 10 for whatever you will get. Uh-huh. So, Brother Samuel? Is it not in part 1 to 10? Did Pastor not say it's in part 1 to 10? He said it now. Now, you can't listen to our salvation 1 to 10 and at least not know that. Samuel. Ah, okay. Sister Ijoma, see your people. In Yolua. On the rules of Bible interpretation, I've heard context, content. Just be keeping this group of people in front of me because people have entered into rest to be there. I like this group. Okay, pious, another rule. I say another. Did I just say she just tell me the two? I'm saying one by one. You just told me the right. Be careful. That is what they call ethical. Anyway, so we have four rules of Bible interpretation for those of you who have not heard us explain it like that. We have grammar. Grammar means that we will check the meaning of the word. Okay, so since the Bible was written in Greek, we'll go and check the meaning of the word in Greek. Like I always tell you, the words, language evolve. So something, the meaning of something like 5 years ago or 10 years ago is different from the way people use it now. Like, say, cool. 20 years ago, what's the meaning of cool? Something that is cold. But now, when you say, this guy is cool, what does it mean now? You see that its meaning has changed. So imagine if cool was used in the Bible then. So you cannot now say cool, start interpreting cool with what you think cool is right now. It has to be according to what it was, what it meant then. That's grammar. Because the way language is changed, even me, I don't understand. Bad before used to be a negative word. Say this guy is bad. But now, this guy is bad. It's now a good thing. Oh, it's now intonation. Well, that's grammar, the meaning of the word. So you have to check the meaning. Then usage is this same word. How was it used in other parts of the scripture? So after you analyze, know the meaning of that word, you now go and check. Was it used in anywhere else? If it was used in Matthew, if it was used in Mark, how did they use it? When you're done with that, you can also analyze by context. It means that you don't just lift a verse. You just say, and everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land of my namesake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Bam. Okay. Forsake. Bam. You just open. You know the way people used to read Bible there, though? Of course, I'm sure all of us did it. Just open Bible anywhere. This is what the Lord is saying. Bam. Okay. You just pick it like that. Without understanding what Jesus was talking about, you just go to the last verse. I say, yeah, you have been married. Wife, I hereby forsake you. The Bible says if we don't forsake, no reward. That is interpreting out of context. So to understand what is being said, you go and start from the beginning. What is being said from chapter 1? What is the subject matter of this discussion? So that's context. Then content is now your understanding of the entire scripture. It's what we have been doing with this series. We said that the entire scripture has what? A thought pattern. It's the same thought pattern. It doesn't change. So you cannot interpret one part of it against the entire thought pattern. So if you think that this verse is saying this, whereas according to the entire intention of the Bible, it's saying something else, you will know definitely that that verse is wrong. Do you understand? So you cannot uphold a particular verse against the general intention of the Bible. Did you get it now? So what are our four rules? Context, content, grammar, and usage. Me, have you heard it now? But don't have time to make it. We're not time to know grammar and usage. I'll deal with you later. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So let us look at usage now. So we have looked at grammar, the meaning of the word. We have seen what the word means. So now I want to analyze how it is used. Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now the word there, every, is the same word past. So every there, does it mean all? Does it mean all? No. Specific about a type. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit. Let's see Matthew 5, verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh unto a woman to lust after her, that committed adultery with her already in his heart. So that word there, whosoever, that is past. The same word. So this is describing a kind of person. It does not say all or every type. It does not say all men are in danger of this. It says this kind of person, whosoever. Anyone that has this description, that this description covers, that's meaning there, whosoever. Matthew 7. Just look at like five more. There are a lot, but since this is not our focus, we are still going somewhere to happen. Just focus. Matthew 7, verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Matthew 7, 8. So that word, everyone there, is the same word, pass. Talking about each individual that ask. Each individual. Each one. So is that singular or plural? Is that singular or plural? Singular. Okay. Matthew 7. 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, verse 24 describes a kind of persons. Any kind of person who builds his house upon a rock. So it is a descriptive term of some type of persons. Do you understand now? So this is both individual and a collective in a sense, but it's describing a type of persons. You see the same thing in verse 26. And everyone that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So that word everyone there is the same word pass. Everyone. Context will make you understand if it is talking about general, as everyone, or some type of persons, or one individual. So let's see Romans. You just have to leave the Gospels. There are much there, but if I give you five things, that should be enough. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the word everyone there is also past. Now, in this context, will it be singular or plural? Is it singular or plural in this verse? Is it referring to one person or several persons? But what is their unifying factor? That believeth. So it's describing a type of persons. So it's not one person, several persons, but a pattern. We see too in Romans 2:1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, and thou that judgest does the same things. So the same word there, whosoever. Anyone that falls under this category, anyone that's passed. As whosoever there. Okay, I think I should give you, let me say two more. That verse 9, that where we just read was Romans 2:1. So now Romans 2:9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. So that every there talks about the same word, pass. This kind of people. Every person of this kind. Okay? Okay. Let's see Romans 9. Open your Bibles. This is Bible study. I'm not here to dance for you. I'm sorry. Maybe my dancing would have been more entertaining, but I am constrained to do this. Romans 9, 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever. Same word. Whosoever, whosoever. Same thing you see in Romans 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. These kind of persons. Anyone who calls. So let's go back to our Romans 9. Romans 5. This is where we started from. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Now, based on all we have studied this morning, the word all there, should it be translated to mean every single person on earth or a type of persons? Is that clear? So that's using contents to now analyze this. Amenities we do use. Grammar, usage, content. We're also going to use context. You see the four things. By every base of interpretation, saying it is all cannot stand. Now let us use context before we move on. See verse 13. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed unto when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that are not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? But not as the offense, verse 15, are you there? Please look at your Bibles. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. Now look at verse 15 and look at verse 12. If 12 says one man, sin entered into the world, right? And passed upon all men. Now, verse 15. What is the word that was used to replace that all in verse 15? Many. You get it now? So it is not every man or all men. Many. Same context of being spoken, and it explains that, okay, it is not all men, but many. A lot of persons. So, by the four rules of interpretation, can this mean all men have sinned? Can it mean all men have died? No. So, it is just translators based on their understanding that we can translate this word to either be general or individual. But properly here, it should have been whosoever or as many. Whosoever or anyone. So, now, reading it as whosoever, we now see, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So, based on what we have studied earlier, death is not the issue, right? Death is simply the result. So, what is the reason? What is the issue? What is the main issue? Sin. So, death simply follows sin. So, now he's saying that as sin entered by one man, death now followed the sin. So, sin was the carrier of death, or sin was the handbag of death, or like I used to tell them, sin is the keke napep of death, that death entered to, used to come inside the world. Okay? So, death did not originate on its own, but by sin. Now, so death passed, that word passed there, is talking about spreading. Spreading. It was spreading. Like when you say somebody is traveling from one place to another, that's the meaning of past there. Death passed, passed. So death traveled. Traveled. Now in different places. Now, if we have death in different places today, what would be the reason? Sin. And that would be because, according to this verse, will now be because of what? Death passed upon all men, that's the category of men, for that all have sinned. So that's all replacing as whosoever. What will now be sin? Death will be present in a place because of what? Not just sin, because of what, according to this scripture? Because of the men that are sinning. Sin is not independent of man. Now. That's what we traced this morning. You cannot have sin in a vacuum. Sin is not a, you're on your own. Sin, just, where is sin? Bam, this is sin. No. Sin is, okay, I think it's good. Sin is because of a man. You cannot separate sin from man. So if death is passing upon all men, who are the carriers of it? It is the men that are sinning that are carrying the death. Death is not traveling on its own. Death is traveling or spreading because men, more men are sinning. How else do you get me? You are looking at me in a funny way. So, it is whosoever, whichever man sins, has death accompanying him. It's as simple as that. Men who sin ushered in death through sin. Now, verse 13. 13 now says, are you ready for verse 13? Are you done writing? Okay, give me a little. Verse 13. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. This is simply saying that it was not the law that brought sin. It has told you that sin came by one man. Sin came by a man exercising his choice outside God's intention. So, before the law came, before Moses, there was sin. But the law served as the announcer and the megaphone for sin. It was the unveiler of sin. It now made it obvious that sin is present. For example, before Moses, which prophet clearly stated God's intention for all men, as he made it that pronounced for multitude of persons? Which prophet? Abraham was for himself. Noah, what did he present? Was it the gospel where he built an ark? Who made it clear, like, this is God's intention? Receive it on... John. Did I hear John? I said before Moses, I said John. Before Moses came, which prophet was able to announce clearly to all men or to a large population of men that this is God's intention, clearly stated out like that? None. Is it a trick question? Is it a trick question? No, it's for if you have the prophet, tell me now. It's not a trick question. It's just for you to explain to me. As he made it clear, like in clear terms, made it obvious. You don't forget, we said documentation makes what? Intention obvious, right? So when you're able to clearly say that, hey, this is God's intention, he's laughing. I was trying to trick you. I was actually just saying it. Like, I thought that was very clear. So, what Moses did by that law was to make that intention obvious so that you will know that, hey, you are rebelling against it. Do you get? Moses understood God's intention. It was written there. He stated it. It is now, that law was now a depiction of, okay, this is you trying to now do things against, as in, by your own, not relying on God's intention. This is the offshoot of it. We are going to get there later and see fully. But the law of what Moses did made it obvious that, hey, drew that line. This is what it is. So it became glaring what sin was. It became glaring what sin was. Moses simply clearly stated that intention of God for man. Showed men what God wants and what should be their expected response. So that's what verse 13 is saying. So once the intention becomes clearer to you, at that point you are now without excuse. Because don't forget, information is what makes a man able to act. So once that knowledge becomes clear to you like this, then you become without excuse. So it's now to each man's account, sin will now be imputed. Okay, the verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, in explaining this, I don't have much time anymore, but that him there does not, the word from the root word does not have to be a person. This was not saying that Adam was a figure of Jesus that was to come. What have we been discussing in verse 12? What is the subject matter in verse 12? What have we been tracing? Sin and death. So, 13 now says, the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed until there is no law. So, we are still talking about sin. So, 13 now tells you that death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that are not sinned after the pattern that are similar to them. The pattern, the same way Adam sinned. So, Adam's sin was what? No, Adam's sin was what? According to this verse now, that you say, Adam's sin over them that have not sinned after the pattern of Adam's sin, the similitude. So, what will Adam's sin now be? I didn't even hear what you said. Now, yeah, how do I say this now? If Adam's sin, this is Adam's sin that brought, Adam's action was what brought sin into the world, and death by this Adam's action. Okay, let me use this as Adam. He's standing on his own as bad. Okay. Now, they now say that death is reigning, even those that are not sinning like this. So what will be this sin? No, what will be this? What this sin will now be an example of other sin. So when you say similitude, the pattern. Think through Bible study now. Bring your mind here. I say bring your mind. Is your mind here now? So now look at verse 14. If we say that him there cannot be Jesus, because Adam is not a pattern of Jesus. If Adam is to be a pattern of Jesus, we now say Adam is God's intention. Because who is Christ? Christ is what? The intention of God. Don't forget where we are coming from in part 3. So, for Adam to be a figure of Christ, it will be what? It will be the intention of God. Was Adam the intention of God? So this him here cannot be talking about Jesus. So, if he's not talking about Jesus, according to the context of what is being discussed, what is it? He's talking about sin. So, Adam's sin was the figure of the sin that was to come. Do you get? So, what will bring in death will be this same kind of sin. Nothing else. The sin that Adam did that brought sin, that brought death, that is the pattern that every other sin will be following. Same thing. Didn't get it? You didn't get it too? Okay. So I want, for the one person's sake, I will not rest until there is complete understanding. Let us look at it again. Verse 12. Arm yourself with how we have been coming from part 1. Nevertheless, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, what is he saying? He's saying that it is true, who is the first, the one man that sin came in through? Adam, right? So what entered the world? Sin. And what came in as a result of sin? Death. 13 now tells you that this sin has been present. It was not Moses that brought it. It has been there. Moses only made it obvious by his law. Okay? So, it has been there from where? Adam. 14 now says, the effects of this sin, rain, I'm not looking at rain yet, I'm going to explain rain. From Adam to Moses, that means, even before Moses came to make it obvious, sin was there, and the consequence was there. Even over the persons that did not sin like Adam, there was still death. You understand? That's why I said similitude of Adam's transgression. Now, the next thing that was said was explaining that Adam's transgression. Who have not sinned after the type pattern of Adam's transgression? Who is the figure of him that was to come? So this who is the figure of him that was to come is not describing Adam per se, but Adam's transgression. So he's saying that sin is the pattern for every other sin that was to come. Adam introduced something. What he introduced, that is the benchmark, or that is the alpha. Which other word can I use to do pattern now? It's not catalog. Model, type, example. Huh.
So Adam, this is every seed. Don't mind my explanation that all these things have different type. Just assume that everything now is like this. I don't change this background so that I can fit my explanation. Just assume that everything was this white, like this, like this, like this, like this. So all these other sins are belonging to other men. It's not Adam that sinned the sin of the whole world. He has told you before in verse 12. So, but everybody's sin is like who? Adam's sin. Okay? All right. Now, what does it now mean for death to reign? Because if you say death reign, and this death will be spiritual death, it will now mean that, indeed, everyone on earth is dead spiritually. You get it? If this is death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over the persons that did not sin, because sin is tied to death is tied to sin. Now, whether a man sinned or not, like Adam, is still going to have death. Then it will mean that if this death is spiritual death, every man everywhere is spiritually dead. Okay, so what would this word reign mean? Reign here, it means to exercise some level of control. It's even from the word past, brethren, and that was used in verse 12. This one talks about a form of control. Form of control. I mean, there was an influence of death, even over those that did not sin like Adam. And Adam's sin, as we have seen, is rejecting the intention of God. So we have to examine this. What is now this death here? What is this death? Are you understanding what we want to do now? Are you understanding me to this point? Aha. Please, oh, don't lose me. Thank you. So, in Genesis 1, did we see death there? Did you see death? No. In Genesis 2, was there death? Are you sure? Are you very sure? Your next exam depends on this, whether you pass or not. Genesis 2, was there death there? Ah, the no has gone away. No confidence. Is there death in Genesis 2? Yeah? I'm hearing yes, I'm hearing no, so I want to know. Is there death in Genesis 2? If you say there's death, then bring it out, show me. If you say there is none, show me. Ah, look. There was a mention. Don't forget, Moses is writing after the fact. When he's writing all these things, has it happened? Yes. So by then, does Moses now know that there is something called death? So at this point in Genesis 1, if it was just Adam, is there death there as an option for Adam to choose? Do you get? So if you say death was present as an option for Adam to choose, it would mean that God created it for him. But death was not present there as an option. We simply have God's intention and a man with free will. Should I say don't leave me? I think that's what you will understand. That's what is raining for people. I don't lose any part of what I'm saying. We are going somewhere to happen. I'm not joking. So grab all the information. So where do we now see death introduced? However, we understood that Adam, the result of your not choosing this intention will be what? Death. This is the intention, though. You have choice. The result of it will be death. Now, let's see chapter 3. We didn't see death in chapter 2. Chapter 3. Now, okay, we have read that part earlier. Let's see verse 6 now. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, from our understanding of what we have been saying, the tree of knowledge of good and evil will be what? Is it a tree? So what will it be? An option away from the intention. So once it is not in this intention, anything outside there, is you going your own way? Is you seeking independence? That is knowledge of good and evil. So, when they now ate of it, or partook of it, please, wherever you are listening to this thing, just try as much. Of course, you cannot go through training and not listen to Understand Genesis Series 1, 2, and 3. But by the time you are done with Understand Genesis Series 1, Series 2, and Series 3, you understand the meaning of trees, fruits, eating. I will not be able to do an exhaustive work here. So ensure you follow through with that. Okay, so what do we now see in verse 7? And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, if the option of not choosing God's intention will be death, and Adam has already exercised his choice not to choose God's intention, so as death happened, okay, so identify death in verse 7 and 8. What will be death there? Verse 7 and 8 of Genesis. If you say the result of not choosing God's intention is death, and we see that not choosing God's intention was exercised in verse 6. So that means Adam has sinned in verse 6. So we must see death. Where is the death? Because I could not see death written there. So where is death in verse 7 and verse 8? Okay, they saw nakedness, they knew that they were naked, and then they went to hide themselves. And later, if you read to the end of the chapter, you will see a further separation from life, which is them departing from the garden. So, three things we see there. We see an obvious feeling of unworthiness. I am unworthy. The feeling of being naked. Please remove your mind from physical nakedness. Thank you. There was this feeling of something is obviously missing. I am obviously not in the intention I should be in. It became obvious. Then we see a withdrawal, a separation. They went to hide. We see a separation. Then we see further separation from life. And then in chapter 4, we see even physical death. Because it was the physical death of Abel that made it even more obvious that, okay. That's when Seth gave birth to a child. He said, man, Enosh, that is it. Man is frail. Man can die. Now, how many shades of death have we seen? That feeling of unworthiness, if you are going to give it a word, will be, let me say, condemnation. Inferiority. Condemnation. Not that sense of not being good enough. We also see the absence of life. And we see physical death. These are results of sin. So, now back to Romans 5:14. Romans 5:14. Romans 5:14. If we are now saying that, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that are not sinned after the type of Adam's transgression. If Adam's transgression is what brings spiritual death, yet there is still an exercise of death over those that have not sinned. Now, if they have not sinned, should they have death, spiritual death? So what would death there now be? Physical death. So every man there on the every man on the world, I mean, what's the grammar? The grammar confused me. Every man in the world, every man on earth, yes, is subject to death physically. In fact, Pastor, we say, as you are born, your mortality time just starts counting. As in, it's ringing for you. Da 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 da. Like Pastor says it. So it is normal. You cannot say, I cannot physically die. I am. The only way you can avoid death and escape death physically is how? If you are present at the glorification. So if your generation ushers in the glorification, then what happens? Yeah, I say soft. Okay. If your generation ushers in the glorification, that is the second coming of Christ and the rapture or the glorification of saints, will you die? No, Paul said, we will not all sleep, that's die, but we shall all be changed. So there are some persons that will not sleep, and those are the persons that will be present at the... She said, amen. She's hoping. okay. But physical death, can you avoid it? Apart from that option, can you avoid it? So whether you sin or not, because of Adam's sin, there is already a reign of death, an influence that death has over the physical body of man. That is one part of death. The second part, death there, don't forget, the intention of God for man is what? Man in my image. That means man would have God in him. Man would house God. For Abel and co, did they have that intention? Did they arrive at that intention? No, we say the intention of God is that man will be in God's image. Man will have life. So, Abel did not sin after Adam's transgression. Don't forget, Adam's transgression is a pattern. So, everybody that is like Adam, rejecting God's intention, they are on this level. Those not rejecting God's intention, they are this other pattern. Okay, let me use one of my second pattern. Abel is here, not there. Yet, that intention of God, did Abel have it? So did Abel have, the intention of God is God, man in my image. For man to be in God's image, man, God must be united with man. So man must carry God for him to be in God's image. So did Abel, was he in that image? So what would that be? I'm hearing yes and no, first of all. Was Abel in that image? Are you sure? Is it no a consensus now? Oh, I'm still hearing yes from one corner. Okay, I think I was hearing yes from this corner. Okay, so Abel was not in that intention of God. So what would that be for Abel? It will still be dead. Why? Because from our definition, death is the absence of eternal life. However, are they in this category with the same persons of death? What will now be the difference between them? Their hope. So these ones will definitely have life. It's sure for them. Like it's sure. They just don't have it now. But these ones, it's not sure for them. As it's sure for them that they will not have life. Do you get the difference? Let's see why. Let's see why. God is the sole authority of a man's spirit, not Adam. I want to explain why now. Why are you smiling like this? You have confused. Okay, what? Okay, ask quickly. Ask. Okay. I get your question though. I understand the question. But that's why he said, look at the words used. He said death reigned. There was an influence. That influence was going to be temporary. Do you understand? But it's still an influence of death. But the difference between these ones and this one now is that this one is temporary, that one is permanent. Because at this point, by totally rejecting the intention of God, you are now fully separated, lacking life. I want to explain why, this is your question, I'm going to explain it to you. Why is it that? Why is it that they could not receive the life so that there would not be a full separation? Do you understand? I want to explain it now. That's what I'm about to explain. Okay. So I said God is the sole authority of a man's spirit. Because he's the one that created it. That was what happened in Genesis 1. Adam cannot influence what he does not have power over. That's That is why the choice of Adam cannot affect another man's spirit. No. It is God that has the final authority over that man's spirit. And the spirit of man, as we have seen, is the rest of God, is the home for God, is God's dwelling, God's habitation. When God enters into that man's spirit, that is when he will become God's dwelling, okay? But in creating that spirit, he already made it capable to house him. Do you understand? So that man's spirit has the ability to house God. Ability. So, man can only choose to allow God to dwell there or not. Simple. He cannot say, I don't want God dwelling here. Satan, come and dwell here. Do you understand? Man does not have that ability, because the creation of that man's spirit, the spirit of man, is only to house God. He cannot house anything else. Even by a man's choice, he cannot put devil there. Are you understanding me? It's outside his influence. It's outside it. What happens there, what can be there, is only God. That is how God has decided it. And God did not create a dead spirit. He simply created a nature that is capable of housing divinity. He created a nature capable of housing divinity. So when divinity is present there, that is life. When divinity is absent there, that is death. That is death. So let me explain this way. How do I explain this now? Okay. Imagine. Okay, I've used this one for Adam. Let me not use it for God. Okay, let me use myself. Imagine God creating. Just assume that I'm spirit. Assume that I'm spirit. This is spirit you are seeing here. You can't see me anymore. This is spirit. Amen. Amen. This is spirit. So when God created this spirit, in it come and represent God. Hurry. This is a no man taking up this honor upon himself. Yes. Yeah, so God created this spirit for a purpose, so that he can be in the spirit. So he created it. You know how you build a house that you say the governor of Lagos State wants to a presidential house, for example. So you build the house to be fit to house what? A president. Abi, you not come and build it like a bachelor. You build it to house a president. So everything that is needed there is fixed. All that is needed is the president dwelling in. Until the president is inside it, it is not a presidential house. You understand? Are you getting me? It's just a house. It's just a shell. So it is going somewhere to happen. It's not in the destination. That is how man's spirit was created. Now, God created this man's spirit. Then presented his intention to man and said, see, I want to be in your spirit. This is why I created it. Expecting man to pick him. So, man like this now, created like that, is his spirit dead? Or is his spirit alive? Do you understand the difference now? Is it dead? No. But is he alive? Aha. It's just there. Exactly. So, it is now waiting for his choice to decide what will happen. So if he exercises the choice to accept this, what happens? God dwells inside. If he says no, what happens? It remains like that. If it now permanently gets to the point where he can no longer decide and make a choice, what will now happen? Eternally is like that. And that is now stamp, bam, spiritual death. But the reason why this is also called death when he's on his own, even when he has accepted, is because he does not have the spirit of God inside of him. So you cannot call him alive. you also cannot call him dead, but yet the Bible will still refer to it as dead because it does not have God's spirit inside of it. But that does not mean that it's a hopeless death. Do you understand the difference? Are you sure? Any of you understand now? Well, I can't see that. Thank you. So, God created a nature that is capable of housing divinity. How that will happen, how God will enter into this man's spirit, is not for man to decide. You must get this clearly. How it is going to happen that the man becomes the house of God, it is beyond man's portfolio. What is it to decide? I want to be God's house. How it will now happen is no longer your choice. But whose choice or who will make it happen? The one who has designed it to make it so. Now let's see Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. From verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things not hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained what? A good report. So now it wants to now explain the difference between Abel and Adam. So Adam is spearheading his own rebellion. There is another category of men who believe yet do not have God's spirit in them. And it explained, okay, I cannot read everything. Let me just go to verse 32. But these are all mentions of men who were not rebellious, men who embraced God's intention across the ages. 32 now says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. So what will be the promise? God in man. God's spirit in man. Do you understand? So, they say, after even all these ones, they had faith, they did not receive that final destination, which is life. Why? 40. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So, your job is to receive the intention or not. Then, how you will now have God housing is not your own. God has a way to make it happen. You get? So, what the rest were waiting for was the way that God was going to make it happen, so that they can partake of it. God has full authority over the spirit of man. Not Adam. Not the man himself. How it will happen is God's full portfolio. And we saw how God intended for it to happen. Of course, in progressive teachings, we'll get there. We saw that the spirit was not available because Jesus was not glorified. So God's way to make it happen is through the sufferings of Christ and the glory that follows. To combat all that man has done and everything for man to receive life. So, when we now say death reigned upon even those that have not sinned, you must be intelligent. Because it has already told you, first of all, that the spiritual state of being fully without God can only come by sin. And what is that sin? Rejecting God. However, that is for them. It doesn't happen now again. That's You say, God, having better than that day without us. So the fullness of time came when Christ came. But everyone that believed in that expectation, they were not lost. They don't have less than what you have today. It's the same thing that they will still receive. Same life. Same life. Same life. Same eternal life. So, it was God's design, God's intention, God's way of carrying it out. How God will make it happen, that is his portfolio. My own is to simply decide to accept him. So, until it played out, these ones were still not lost. They just did not have the Spirit of God in them. But they were not dead either, because they had a hope. A man who has hope, that's why we say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Somebody that has an active expectation of life is not dead. It's not fully lost. It's not. So is that clear now? Do you understand Romans 5, 12, 13, and 14? Very well. Glory to God. Okay. I don't think I can finish today, but death or life, let's just start trying to round up. Death or life does not have an automatic stamp on any man without his choice. The summary of what we have said today is that death or life does not have an automatic stamp on any man without that man's choice. It does not. It does not. So, the reason why this religion says total depravity makes man unable to accept God is because they don't understand the part of man that needs to accept God. When we started part 7, we talked about man is spirit, soul, and body. We have looked at the body. We have looked at the spirit. Okay? So now, the reason why they say man is so depraved that even if he's seen eternal life like this, he will not be able to receive it, is because you are thinking that it is the spirit of man that needs to receive or believe salvation. But from all we have read so far, what faculty of man is needed for that is mind. Because accepting salvation is a choice. And choice is not exercised by a man's spirit, but by a man's mind. So even though man is dead spiritually, that yes, he doesn't have the Spirit of God in him, the natural man, it doesn't make him incapable of receiving salvation. Except you will say that his mind is not there. Sorry, let me use your hair. You always maintain. Let me not scatter it. The only way why you can say a man is impossible of making a decision for salvation is if he doesn't have a mind. Or a mind that can think or reason. Like a baby. I know the temptation is strong to say, we are all born sinners. We are born sinners. We are nothing but pencil in the hands of the Creator. Or you even see some children like this. And they're already exhibiting some signs of wickedness. You say, I talk calm. Oh man, you see, evil is just inside their heart. Like some actions my daughter would do. I'll have to convince myself that, she does not have a sin nature. Something that's just too glaring. You just know that this is, I don't want to do what you are saying I should do. It's just clear. From before you can even talk, you're already exercising will. Crawl. No, I don't want to crawl. I want to sit down. Walk. No, I don't. Is this it? You just say, this one, I'm naive because I'm. No. The child is simply exploring, pushing the boundaries of what he can do and what he cannot do. If I tell mommy I want ketchup, will she give me? Let me try. Mommy, I want ketchup. Mommy gives her ketchup. Okay. If mommy can give me ketchup, you think they are not reasoning? As the mind is developing, if mommy can give me ketchup, it means she can also give me chocolate that is in the fridge. Mommy, I want chocolate. So what are they doing? Experimenting, pushing their boundaries. What can I do? What can I not do? You put off TV and they cry. And then you put it on. If I cry, TV will not be put off. Do you understand? So it is by what is happening around that is making them decide. Some other children growing up, if you cry like you say, TV was put off, as you all do, wah! The father's, my TV I bought. You are talking, get out of here if you don't even watch the TV. How will you grow up to see TV? TV is the box of the gods. It's for them. Like some emojis that, serious emojis that say, because of the way their parents refuse to let them play these games, PS, this thing, that their dream and ambition too is that they will grow up. That from when they were small, they already saying, this PS, I will buy it. And I will play all the game I want to play this life. There's nothing that anybody can do. What is shaping his decision to that level? Non-availability of PS for whatever they call that thing. So, like my younger sister there when she was small, because you tell her she was smallest in the house. So you say, Jubilee, give me water. Jubilee, give me, bring something from the fridge. She became, started thinking, it's because I'm the smallest. No problem. When I grow up, I'm going to give birth to 100 children so that I will not be doing anything again. I will tell this one, I will have somebody that will go and bring water for me, somebody that will go and fetch water, this one I will do, just so I will not do anything again. What is causing such decision? But as she has grown up, if you go ask her, is this what you, how? In fact, she does not even, you don't even let her born one child. She will just, bam, bring herself back to factory setting. So what decides a man's this thing is his exploration. He starts exploring from a child. If I go here, they spank me. I try again, they spank me. I say, okay, let me turn this way. That's man's choice. It's the way God has made him. So you cannot see somebody exercising that exploration and say it's a sin nature. Why did you put evil around the child? If a child is evil, say the child is always doing bad things, it's because you are the tendency that you have put around is evil. You get what I'm saying? Because you cannot say all children are inherently bad. There are some children that are very good. I was busy trying to set questions for my exams, and I was there with my laptop for hours. And my daughter noticed. I said, "Mommy, are you tired?" I said, "No, I'm not tired." "Mommy," she kept thinking I was tired. "Mommy, are you tired?" "No." "Are you hungry?" "No." "Mommy, do you want water?" When the care was not becoming too much, I said, "Okay, I want water." She went to the fridge, brought a bottle of water, brought a cup, and said, "Mommy, see water. Is that evil?" Can you not say somebody is just born evil? That because everything, you cannot just conclude like that. Whereas, let me not talk about my other awesome, lovely girl. That all of you that are laughing, I don't know why you're laughing. That girl is, there is goodness overflowing in her. Yeah, these unbelievers. Anyway, so you will see two children from the same parent, father and mother, acting like this. Two separate ways. So it cannot be a function of how they came out or nature. It is simply what each person is deciding to explore. Simple. So we'll just clarify this last scripture and then we have to stop here. Sorry, I thought I would be able to analyze this, but obviously we can't get there. I'm going to keep it beyond 12. Let's see Psalms 51. Psalms chapter 51. Can't get to the gospel today. We'll get there on Wednesday. Huh? At least I forget. I'll save it, okay? Just, I'll have to remind you in full and in details later. Amen. Glory to God. Awesome things await us this week. Amen. Glorious things await us this week. Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 Psalms 51. As you have said it, so shall it be. And it shall be awesome for you indeed. Amen. Amen. Now, whether you are saying, you are refusing to say amen, you are seeing a particle of it. We are together in this world. Psalm 51. Verse 1. Now, this was after David has killed another man to get his wife. And the prophet had come and rebuked him. So this is his response. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So, this gives an impression that men are all born sinners. But don't forget, who is talking here? David. This is a psalm of repentance. He's trying to show clearly that he knows he has done wrong. So, conceive there talks about the act of conception. The way a baby is conceived. It's not talking about in nature. How is a baby conceived? If you don't know, go to biology and learn. Amen? My job is not to teach you that. But that act of conception is what he's talking about. That it was done in sin. So, what would be the likely thing he's talking about? If he says, the way I was conceived, the way my father and my mother conceived me was in sin, that would be referred to what? Think. Okay, don't forget, sin in the Bible. We'll get there. We have not. Sin in the Bible does not only mean unbelief. You have to use the context to examine that. Sin can be unbelief. Sin can be preaching false doctrine. Sin can be moral sins. Okay, so the one that we say brings death is what we have been analyzing. That's unbelief. But here, if he's saying sin, of course, this will be moral sin because he's been reproved for a moral wrong. Okay, so what will now be the sin there? What will be the sin in respect to conception? Copulation is a sin. You see, they did not marry out of wedlock. Aha. So that would be adultery. Because that conceived there is clear. If you check the root word, it's always referring to the act of conception, how the baby comes about. And David is explaining his own predicament. Say, hey, you know when you want to try and make it obvious that I know I've done wrong? When this is his way of saying I'm nothing but pencil in the hand of the Creator. For example, if Eli is the son of, in which person do you want to be the son of in terms of money? Who do you admire? Dangote. Okay. Eli is, Nigerian, okay, $10, which one? What do you best of? So now we say Nigerian, now he doesn't want to stretch his faith too much. He said Nigeria. He's fire in Nigeria. So he said Dangote. So Eli is the son of Dangote, but he doesn't look it. He does not yet appear as he shall be. So, me that don't know, you are fine, don't worry. I'm just saying that when I look at you physically, it's not written on your head that you are Dangote's son. So as I come like this, I'm just like an Agbero. Okay, I'm not an Agbero, but imagine that I am a tout. That I just there, who pack this bottle for you? You don't know where you'll be. Let me slap you smaller. Your face is too fresh. You don't know anything. Go. As he needs, as I'm beating him, he dials his escort. Maybe he just went, left his escort and came. And then his father, I did not even know he was outing with his father. And then Dangote shows up and say, you are beating my son. What will I do? I'll lie down. You don't say I don't get sense. You don't say, you see when they worry me, I don't know, you don't think. You say, no. If I didn't think correctly, I will slap your pinky. Me, I go to slap. You know, that kind of, when you are not debasing yourself, just so that don't verse with me. Do you understand? You know, I'm trying to use all the things I can use to explain, but you get what David was trying to do. That's what he was saying. So nothing has come to tell you that you were, God, that, you think it's, what can I see? The reason why I'm doing this is because see, even from where they take bombing are from sin. That is where this adultery. It also came like that. I'm sorry. That was his expression of repentance. So you cannot use that one to say that we are all born sinners. Because even if you see the account in Samuel, it suggests so that he was a product of, or he was an illegitimate child. But he came to anoint sons. Call all your children. The man don't call all. These are my children. When there was no oil on their head, or when the thing did not enter their head, you already don't cash. They say, okay, I have another child. Well, to make the father not bring him in the first place. Do you understand? So it's always that there will still be that feeling of, I am not part of these legitimate ones. That's what it suggests, even from the accounts we have in the scripture. This in no way says that we are all born sinners. No. No. So, we'll close here. But this religion, the reason why they talk about this total depravity, the hallmark, the reason why they emphasize it, is that they are using the instrumentality of hopelessness to measure God's saving power. That means they are using how bad man is to hype God's ability to save. It's just like saying, like the example we just gave, because I want forgiveness from this man, then I debase myself as low as I can get. Because we want to say that God's grace is big, awesome, powerful, we now make it look like men are totally lost and cannot be saved. The end result is to what? Amplify God's grace. But the tool you have used is now against the scriptures. Because as we saw in part 6, what man is to focus on salvation. God said, I will do something. And based on that thing I will do, man will see it and rejoice. Men will see it and receive confidence. Man is not to focus on sin to understand the enormity of salvation, is what I'm trying to say. You're not to focus on how bad things are to be able to understand that, hey, salvation is great. You get me now? You are supposed to focus on the salvation itself, on what God did to acknowledge him. So that is where this now becomes wrong. Now, because we want to emphasize that, God is almighty, God is all merciful, the grace of God is strong, then we must now, first of all, debase man and say, hey, man is totally not capable, just so that we can appreciate that. No, that is the wrong appreciation of scriptures. You have to focus on God, focus on what he did in salvation. That should be enough for you to appreciate. If it's not enough, it means you don't understand what was done in salvation. You don't focus on evil to appreciate good. No. Focus on good. There's enough power in the knowledge in good for you to appreciate good. Do you understand me? Okay. So, we have to stop here. On Wednesday, we are going to continue analyzing the scriptures that I use, Ephesians 3, Ephesians 2, Romans 3, several scriptures that, because we have not looked at their scriptures yet. We have to bring it, examine one by one. Why is it like this? Why is it not like that? But don't fall into the temptation of trying to see that, hey, things are too bad. Things are too bad before you can appreciate God. No, it's not. It's not. What those things do is actually weakens your appreciation of the tools that you carry. For example, if you focus too much on man is totally bad, man is totally depraved, you are reducing your appreciation of the gospel and what it can do. That's the effect. Remember in part 5, we said that it will take a full understanding of scriptures for you to understand the implication of a wrong application. So in the man that is just saying his own, he thinks that is all that he's saying. But the implication is broader than that. Don't appreciate evil at the expense of good. No, you are never told to focus on how bad man is, but on how mighty God's salvation plan is. Let's be on our feet. Close here. Continue later. Right, let's be on our feet. Glory, 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 glory. We're just going to sing in tongues for like 5 minutes. And we're going to focus on salvation. We are going to have the right focus. It is lack of focus. Say, sin, sin, sin. It's so big, it's so big, it's so big. Many persons, the reason why they cannot live a victorious life is because of that too much focus you give to sin. You say, this habit. I cannot do it. Or this gospel, I cannot preach it. I remember when Happy first came, Happy Lolo. And I remember when I asked Happy, I said, Happy, you go get PRO book for this training we will do. What is the PRO book? PRO book, you go write what you do for this. Anybody where you preach to, anybody where you talk to, you go write down. Happy say, me, preach? I know if you preach, oh. Was that not your first response? That exact words. Me, preach? How? I know if you preach, oh. That was what she said. Is that still your response today? So, why did she say that? She's focusing on what? Myself. Which thing I know? Which English I feel speak? This one. By the time you focus on all of that, you cannot appreciate the ability that God has placed. So God says, this is the righteous man. You are righteous. But by the time you keep focusing on, you meet persons in evangelism. Do you have the Holy Ghost in you? It looks like you have asked them an abomination. As in, the question is, how can I have the Holy Ghost in me? How? Me, as I am like this. I cannot hold. I'm not worthy. I'm not holy enough. Why? He's focusing on himself, not on what God has done. For you to be able to appreciate and benefit from it, you must understand what God himself did, not your abilities. So you don't go and stand in front of a man saying you want to preach the gospel, and then you're focusing so much on he's wearing hijab, or what they call that thing. I say, this man like this, there's no way. Forget it, it's gone. Forget it, it's this man, I've lost like that. Why? Because you are using the physical to esteem what God can do. But by the time, like, if you are like Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So once you say, the trust is not in this man's reception, but in the gospel. That God has said this gospel is powerful. So once you focus on this, will you see any man that cannot be saved? So when you are focusing on what you shouldn't focus on, you are taking away the power and appreciation from what you should focus on. And it is the right focus that your strength lies. Your strength lies in the right focus. Look not to yourself. Look not on others. No. Their strength is of me, says the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Salvation is of the Lord. Their strength and their confidence is from me, not from any man. So, because we understand what God has done in so great a salvation, we are just going to appreciate God and just glorify God and let your heart magnify God, focusing on the fact that salvation is what God did by himself, God's guarantee, God's seal, and also it is powerful enough to encompass every man, and that no man is irredeemable. No man. This gospel is stronger than the highest resistance of any man. It is actually more powerful. Once we can focus on that, then it now affects how we get it done. Do you understand? All right, let's just go ahead and sing in the Holy Ghost. You are just appreciating God. Let your mind understand the depth of the fullness of God's sacrifice. Let it understand it fully and say, this is what God has done. This is what God has done. Something that only God could do and not any man. Something that only God could do and not any man. This is the work of God and God alone. I don't need to say, man is too depraved to understand God's grace. No, I focus on salvation. I focus on the action of God. And I realize that this is more than enough. God's actions are enough proof. Not man's actions. No. Not man's actions. Oh, we thank you. Give you praise, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you for so great a salvation. For who you have made us. because of this salvation, for making us agents of these things, because of this salvation. Ah, for what we have because of this salvation, that we are the ones capable of causing change, eternal change in a man, because of this salvation that we are partakers of. Oh, we give you praise, Lord. Just go ahead and sing in tongues. Let it dawn on you. See, let it dawn on you. Let it dawn on you. And so you are able to understand how well God saved man. That God was able to stake his integrity on salvation. That God was able to stake his character on salvation. And say, this will be proof of who I am to man. Hey, hey. That salvation will be proof of who I am to man. Salvation is going to be proof of my ability. Ah. That God deemed salvation worthy and said, you will look at salvation and see how powerful I am. That is our God. 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 In saving, he saved well. 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 Oh, in saving, he saved well. In saving, he saved well. Let your heart bring forth songs in appreciation. Oh, by the ocean on the edge. Lara by the ocean. Over. Living on the ocean. Get on the Ramanashi. Lara the Balade. Or the man say, tell the level of the Rabade. Kalaman and Omse. Ele de dele. Ida Marado Salabai. Ele Varano Sananamaye. Oh, Salabarada do Sedevan. You have saved us well, and here are my brother dogs. He loved at home, son of man, the day of the bar. You have saved us well, he loved man, the dosha. Haradadadabagadadosite. You have saved man well, halabahele keso. Yelele ketele boradosha. Oh, I see perfection in salvation. I see perfection in salvation. He let about us son of a reminder. I love the tail of a red old shake on those. Oh, you have saved us well. Ala marada, da 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 marada do. Yele marada, suni na marana, mala de bade. Yara dak su tele borana mababatoshi. Oh, you have saved us well. 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 Oh, my God. In you is total salvation. In you is complete restoration. Oh, you have saved us well. You have saved us well. Ah, glory to God. He has saved us well. If man can focus on salvation fully, you will not see loopholes. You will not see loopholes. You will not see loopholes. You see loopholes because you are focusing on man. It is because you are focusing on man. That's why you are seeing things that are not well done. Ah, he has saved us well. He has saved us well. He has saved us well. Complete total restoration. God has saved us well. Nothing missing, nothing broken. No additions, no subtractions. Oh no. He has saved us well. He has saved us well. It's so great a salvation. It's so great a salvation. Oh, it's so great a salvation. It saves us well. How can God do something and you will say it is not perfect? It's baffling. It's baffling. It's baffling. It's baffling. It's baffling. That God tied his name to something. Tied his integrity to something. And he said, I will do it by myself. I will not leave it for any man. He did it fully. You will not say, hey, there are loopholes here. It doesn't meet everything. Nah, nah. You have not understood salvation. He saved us well. He saved us well. He saved us well. Glory to God. He saved us well. You believe that now? There's no obstacle in man. No original sin. No original death. No. No. Not there. So when you go to a man, be confident, knowing that this one is not irredeemable. Salvation is potent. God has done something very well. Continue on that. I will get to the gospel. We understand what... Just focus on what God has done. And appreciation dawns. Clarity dawns. You will not be able to find fault when you understand what God did. It's as simple as that. Glory to God. Glory to God. So this week, we are going to continue on Wednesday. Very straightforward. We have exams this weekend, so it's not going to be as difficult as it is. So Wednesday, 6 p.m. Then on Thursday, we are going to have day and night fasting. Amen. Right. Well, let me explain day and night so that you don't... By when we say day and night, it means that from Thursday morning, not 6 a.m., from Thursday, like exactly, you would start fasting. You will come here in the evening fasting. We are going to pray together till Friday fasting, okay? So that's day and night. You are not going to break. You are going to focus on the fasting. Amen? All the heads nodding. I want to see you on Wednesday and I want to see you on Thursday. It is not for pastor and workers. That all of us, a common salvation, have we? A common destiny, right? Your destiny is my destiny, have we? Aha, so your fasting is my fasting. It's not only my fasting, it's for all of us. That's it. Don't worry, I know there's work on Friday, but we'll close early. We'll most likely start between 9 and 10, and then just pray. We'll pray and finish early enough for you to still rest and go to prepare for work the next day, okay? So that's all. On Monday, outreach. Monday is our Edifying Assembly Outreach and Discipleship Day. So ensure you're a part of it. Remember, you are made bold for the gospel. All these things you are saying, it's not theory. Hope you know. Aha. So you are getting more knowledge to strengthen your conviction as you output it. It's all to just strengthen your conviction, not to stay there. So fathers, mothers, ensure everyone is involved. On Monday from 5 p.m., outreach starts. And that's done individually, as in together in your families. You know, Wednesday, we'll come together 6 p.m. And on Thursday, we'll do our day and night to come together, pray. That's all till Sunday. Okay? So is that not simple enough? It's very straightforward. Please don't forget, Pastor has been emphasizing prayers recently in our group. For those of you that are in our WhatsApp group, so I'm announcing to everyone, if for those that are not there, that we should pray more for one another. Pray for each other. Pray together. And your prayers are not centered around only yourself. You pray for your disciples. You pray for you. Pray for you. You pray for that. So before your prayer is answered, and before we see it, our own can come first. So the multitude of prayers, we just keep praying. It's necessary for us to keep praying. So don't forget that. So when are we meeting again? Wednesday, then Thursday. What do we have on Thursday? Fasting. Please don't forget. Don't say you woke up in the morning and you just, pump. Ah, my fasting has spoiled. Let me just eat. I'm watching you. I have angel assigned to everyone. Come here together to do it and strengthen our conviction again. Strengthen our conviction. You need to pray. You need to pray. On your own, it might be tedious, but together. How many of you have noticed that when we pray 5 hours together, it's just easier to bear than when you are praying alone 5 hours? Aha. Uh-huh. So that is why we bear one another's body even in this. And we learn that to replicate as we are in our individual places. So let's just continue thanking God. Thank you, Father. We We have a blessed week, a week full of consciousness of your saving power. A week full of consciousness of your saving power, 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 of your ability to save. The ability to save is conscious all around, all around, all around, all around. We see ourselves as active players in this. Ah, see, a believer, you lost your right to say you don't want to pastor at salvation. You lost the right. What is pastoring? Forget the title. It is growing up other men. Growing up other men. Getting men established in the truth. You cannot receive salvation and refuse that duty. No. That duty is in salvation. Do you understand? It's in salvation. That you have a part to play in the gospel, in taking it out, in bringing up men and raising them to be strong, is your duty in salvation. So embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace it. The call to service, whether in pastoring or in discipleship, in teaching that one person, should give you joy. Embrace it. Embrace it. When you refuse to do so, when you are refusing to learn and so that you can be able to teach others, you are showing a disdain for God's salvation. That is the implication. You understand the value of it. You will know that it is what you should be grateful for, and every man should be a partaker of it. So, thank you, Father. This week again, and much more, continuing this, and we see outstanding results because the word of God is sure, true, steadfast, and it becomes our reality. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, have a blessed week, everyone.